Chapter 4. How the Creation of China Was Exactly Like American Idol. Zach never thought he'd be so upset during his first time flying first class on a plane. He wasn't just in the first class seating area, but a private cabin with two single beds and its own bathroom. He sat on one bed against a pile of fluffy pillows, while Simon sat on the other, commenting on a Chinese historical documentary playing on a big screen above the foot of their beds. Light shifted on Simon's face in the dim cabin, like they were in a theater. Zach was supposed to be paying close attention, yet he couldn't. He tried. He really tried. But he couldn't. Last night, at the police station, he'd blubbered through the robbery story fed to him by not Simon, or Tang Taizong, as he had to get used to calling him, along with Qing Shi Huang for the first emperor. Halfway through, Zach had started crying so hard that he could barely catch his breath. The police had then backed off on grilling him about why a bunch of robbers would target a random basement suite or what the robbers looked like beyond they wore ski masks.
"Wow, you're such a good actor," Simon had said afterward.
Zach hadn't been acting. His mom had been rushed to a hospital, where the doctors had declared her to be in a coma, though they, of course, couldn't figure out why. Just when Zach had been about to say no to the police asking if he had any other living relatives, a tiny prompt on his portal lens, which he'd kept on with the excuse that it had a prescription, had told him to say, "Yes, officer, an aunt in China named Yaling Sha." He was pretty sure his mom didn't have a sister, but he'd gone with it. The message had come with a phone number that he'd passed to the police. He didn't know what kind of conversation had happened over the phone, but an hour later, he had a plane ticket booked for Shanghai, China. The police had taken him home so he could pack his things, then driven him through the towering forests of Maine to the Portland airport. Zach suspected there'd been some magic involved for them to act that quickly, or maybe they just hadn't wanted to deal with an orphan overnight. "No," he chided himself. "Not an orphan. I still don't get how this is supposed to help get my mom's spirit back," he cut Simon off mid-commentary, fed up with the mess in his head. Simon paused the documentary by double-tapping the air in front of his portal lens, which he'd connected to the screen by Bluetooth. He looked like he wanted to say something, but couldn't figure out the words. He really wasn't the cool and collected Xu Dali from the championship live streams, which made Zach feel a little less surreal about being around him. If Xu Da was real, so to speak, Zach wasn't sure he could have met him without fainting. He still blushed sometimes, remembering the promo pictures of Xu Da that he had saved to his phone during the championship. Zach had scrambled to delete the pictures on the ride to the airport.
"You need a stronger connection to Qin Shi Huang's legend magic to pull off the mission," Simon finally said,
angling his face away in the distant screen light, looking slightly guilty. Zach could barely hear him over the roar of the plane engines.
"Which means a stronger connection to the cultural consciousness of him."
Frustration welled up in Zach.
"What even is that?"
Simon straightened in his bed, eyes glistening behind his portal lens.
"Okay, so there are legends basically everyone in a culture knows, like Americans and their Batman and George Washington. For us in China, it's Qin Shi Huang and Tang Taizong. We all know who they are and the legendary stuff they did. Them being in the minds of so many people for generation after generation is what makes their spirits so powerful. But they don't have a place in your mind. That's why Qin Shi Huang couldn't bind properly to you."
"Precisely."
Qin Shi Huang emerged in Zach's portal view with a glimmering sweep of polygons hovering above the beds.
"This eye device of yours had more of a connection to me
than you.
By virtue of the data about me that it could access on the internet. It was a miracle that I discovered its computational pathways were complex enough to host my spirit before I fell back into the underworld.
He gazed up in thought.
Actually, I am quite impressed with what I'm finding in here.
Zack had to once again take a moment to process how things like this were part of his life now.
Then why didn't you pick someone else to possess? He accused.
He bet he and his mom wouldn't have been attacked if Qin Shi Huang had chosen differently.
Because you're the one I incarnated a piece of my spirit into, and therefore the only anchor point I could use to pull myself back to the mortal realm.
Qin Shi Huang folded his arms. His wide sleeves met like black curtains in front of his chest.
If I kill you and start over, it'll take at least another 12 years for a new host to grow into any semblance of usefulness. I do not have time for that.
Well, I'm sorry, Zack blurted. I'm sorry I'm not Chinese enough for this, when nobody told me I needed to know so much about Chinese culture until yesterday.
His raspy voice shook and cracked. He wasn't sure who he was angrier at, them or himself. The airplane walls quivered behind his pillows from the turbulence outside.
Calm down, kid, Qin Shi Huang said. This is about your personal connection to me, not about you being Chinese enough, which is not something that can be measured. You claim Chinese heritage. That makes you Chinese. Knowledge of me is just one small part of Chinese culture, which is vast and different across the world, wherever Chinese people are. Why do you think I can speak American English? It's because of Chinese Americans like you and your mother, who surely thinks of me as a cultural legend.
But she never told me about you.
Qin Shi Huang's expression twitched.
I can't help that some people have no appreciation for history. But if she grew up in China, she's heard of me for certain.
Pity that the approach she took to keeping you safe is prioritizing your assimilation into American culture instead. Not an approach I agree with, but there's no changing the past.
Believe me, I didn't want to do this mission on this tight of a timeline either. Simon here was supposed to transfer to your American school in the autumn and gradually introduce you to the necessary knowledge. We were supposed to have many more years before having to embark on our mission, but a recent earthquake changed everything. It critically loosened the portal to the underworld I had built my mausoleum over. Now we have a mere 14 days to reinforce the portal plug I had made.
That didn't sound good.
Or what?
Zack sat up straighter.
What would happen?
Well, first of all, the demon who has your mother will grow powerful enough to utterly consume her spirit. No heaven, hell, underworld, or reincarnation for her. Just gone.
The bottom dropped out of Zack's world, as if the plane had plunged hundreds of feet.
And the spirits of the Chinese underworld will flood into the mortal realm,
Simon added, expression haunted, but Zack's mind stayed frozen around the terror that his mom's spirit might get consumed when the afterlife was apparently an assured thing.
How do we stop this?
Zack said in a rush of breath. Anxiety crawled like ants in his gut.
How do we reinforce this portal plug?
The words felt like nonsense in his mouth, but if this was the way to save his mom, he had to know.
Before we delve into that, show me something.
Qin Shi Huang pointed at a glass of water on a wall-mounted tray beside Zack's bed.
Try to control that water. Get it as high as you can.
Coldness seeped into Zack's body from his portal lens, like ice water splashed over his face. With the hesitance of still not really believing he could waterbend, he lifted his hand before the glass, willing the water to rise. it did, but not by much.
Higher, Qin Shi Huang commanded.
Zack hissed through clenched teeth. He strained the water higher until spots speckled his vision. Then he had to let go. It collapsed back into the glass with a small splash.
As I thought, Qin Shi Huang grunted. With me merely possessing this device, you can't channel enough of my magic to put up a proper fight, and you certainly can't use it as well as I do.
Hot shame flared into Zack's face. Can we redo the possession deal?
The deal? Oh, right. Me promising to make you stronger in exchange for using you as a host? That wasn't a magical deal. It was simply a promise of honor, one I remain happy to fulfill. Heaven knows you need it.
Zack couldn't even argue. If he were stronger, if he weren't such a wimp, he wouldn't have run away and cowered in his bed and given the demons the opening to attack.
But no, Qin Shi Huang continued. I'm afraid I'm permanently bound to this device, the way I should have been permanently bound to you. However, it's still possible to improve our spiritual connection by improving your knowledge of my legend.
He gestured backward at the screen.
Has this documentary given you a good grasp of it?
It was paused on an actor's depiction of him, raising a glinting sword in what looked like a shadowy, firelit palace chamber. The actor, bearded and buff, looked a lot older than how Qin Shi Huang appeared to Zack. Zack strained to gather the fragments of facts that had made it through his storming thoughts. So you were a prince born in the middle of a lot of wars. When you were only 13, you became the King of Qin?
Qin Shi Huang huffed. Let me put it in terms you can more readily understand. About 3,000 years ago, there were over 100 states in the lands that would become China. Three legendary dynasties had claimed sovereignty over them all, but they were mere figureheads. After the states stopped respecting those figureheads, they descended into a knockout competition, like one of your American reality TV shows. They gradually swallowed each other up over the 300-year spring and autumn era, before whittling down to a top seven, also known as the Seven Warring States. That round of finals continued for another 200 years before I defeated them all in a rapid-fire 10-year campaign. Yes, I won Ancient Chinese American Idol.
Qin Shi Huang recoiled.
Ancient Chinese Idol? Whatever.
It was a lot of info. Yet all Zack could think to ask was, how the heck do you know what American Idol is?
Chinese Americans, remember? No reason Chinese culture and American culture can't overlap. Back in American Idol's heyday, George Washington made some of us watch it with him.
Qin Shi Huang shook his head.
Its entertainment value greatly plummeted after Simon Cowell's departure.
Who's some of us?
Me, Alex.
Alex?
A conqueror from Europe. Macedonia, was it?
Alexander the Great? You're friends with Alexander the Great?
You know him, but you don't know me?
Qin Shi Huang scoffed.
He's Alexander the Great. I was literally just doing a presentation on him for history class.
And I am Qin Shi Huang, the first emperor of China. Unlike Alex, I actually achieved my goal of conquering all the way to the Pacific Ocean. He's a decent lad, though. I taught him how to play Mahjong. He and I and Ram and Genghis get together and enjoy a few games every few decades.
The names deciphered themselves in Zack's head. You play Mahjong with Alexander the Great, Ramses II, and Genghis Khan?
How do you know all of them except me? I am as much of an A-list conqueror as any of them.
Qin Shi Huang sputtered. then put his fingers to his temples just under his headdress. His eyes squeezed close, and his demeanor mellowed.
Ah, it's not your fault. Zhenxi Bairen, zhenshi de. Such nonsense that children in China are bombarded with Western legends and history, while children in the West are taught nothing. While children in the West are taught nothing beyond the typical Europeans, the occasional Egyptian, and maybe Genghis Khan.
Maybe you're not as A-list as you thought, Zack mumbled.
You listen here!
Qin Shi Huang whipped his finger toward Zack.
I am the only conqueror in any history to have eliminated all possible enemies and had my governing system persist for over 2,000 years. I ruled over my entire known world. I literally ran out of places to take over. The only reason I get snubbed on these conqueror lists is because my empire is still a single country. Can they say that?
Why aren't you telling him the part where your dynasty fell apart in just 15 years?
Simon suddenly quipped. No. With that confident tone, relaxed grin, and smooth English, it wasn't Simon. Tang Taizong had taken over. Zack wondered what happened to Simon when he did. If Simon's mind would retreat into his body and lose all control of it, becoming a spectator to his own existence, like what had briefly happened to Zack. Zack shuddered. He was torn between being glad that couldn't happen again and feeling guilty, because if he hadn't kicked Qin Shi Huang out, the demons probably wouldn't have stood a chance at taking his mom. Qin Shi Huang swiveled his glare onto Tang Taizong.
Why don't you tell him the part where you picked your meekest son as your heir because you believed he was kind and gentle and wouldn't kill his brothers like you did, not realizing that he'd have an affair with one of your concubines while you suffered on your deathbed, and then that concubine ended up usurping your dynasty and becoming the only female emperor in our history? Why don't you go ahead and tell that story, huh?
Tang Taizong's grin faltered.
None of that was my fault.
Don't test me, Taizong.
Qin Shi Huang held up a palm, looking pointedly away.
I am 800 years older than you. I watched your entire life play out. I have more dirt on you than you will ever have on me.
Whatever. I still created the golden age of China. Most diverse and tolerant era ever. Hashtag Tang Dynasty Best Dynasty.
Tang Taizong made the hashtag gesture with his fingers.
Hash?
Qin Shi Huang grimaced.
You've been in the mortal realm for far too long.
Tang Taizong flashed a smirk.
Sorry, stuck in a 12-year-old's body.
Rolling his eyes, Qin Shi Huang turned back to Zack, who felt like his brain was melting from this conversation.
But it's true. I only ruled China for 12 years. Then my dynasty collapsed 3 years after I passed into the beyond. It wasn't surprising. I'd made a lot of enemies, both mortal and supernatural. Though the part about plugging the underworld portal is one achievement you won't find in history books. I did my best to erase the portal's existence from record. The less it's believed in, the less power it has. And that is where I get my bad reputation for burning books.
Please, Tang Taizong snorted. As if you didn't burn certain books just because you wanted to control your newly subjugated masses.
I kept backups in my imperial library. Xiang Yu was the one who erased those from existence when he burned down my palace.
Oh, sure. Blame Xiang Yu.
He really did.
So what exactly is your magic? Zack asked to keep them on topic. Why can you control water? And time? Or is it super speed? Like the Flash? Zack recalled a lot of lightning shooting down.
The Flash? Qin Shi Huang blinked. Oh, right. You and your American gods.
No, the Flash is a superhero, not a god.
Same thing. Superheroes are just American myth. They haven't been passed down long enough to take spiritual form, but if they last another few centuries, I reckon I'll be playing Mahjong with Bruce Wayne on the same ethereal table as George Washington.
What? Zack shot to a new level of disbelief. But superheroes aren't actually worshipped as real.
Then what's Comic-Con, huh?
Zack had no good response to that, so he just mentally filed this under things to stop questioning about the world now.
Okay, but did you also have these powers in history? He asked,
because he would have paid a lot more attention to the documentary if it had showed Qin Shi Huang controlling water, summoning lightning, and slowing time.
No, I was a regular person in my mortal life. I mostly relied on the cooperation of my ancestors in the underworld to plug the portal. But after I transcended my physical flesh...
He died taking mercury pills that he thought would make him immortal, Tang Taizong said.
So did you,
Qin Shi Huang yelped without looking at him.
Allegedly. Sources differ.
You know what you did. So, as I was saying,
Qin Shi Huang bugged out his eyes at Zack.
In death, my spirit became tied to the Chinese cultural consciousness as a legend, as the tales and beliefs about me grew wilder over decades and centuries and millennia, I gained astonishing abilities. Legend magic is fickle, however. Sometimes you can bend it to your will, such as me creating my time-slowing magic out of the various legendary assassination attempts against me. But other times, you are at its mercy. I used to be able to raise and crack the earth with a whip because of a legend believing I built the Great Wall that way. Now that legend has fallen into obscurity, and I am more associated with dragon abilities, such as controlling water and summoning storms. I owe this in particular to a popular video game called Glory of Legends that depicted me with those abilities.
Zack balked.
You can get powers from a video game?
Of course,
Qin Shi Huang said.
It compels an entire new generation to think of me as having dragon abilities, thus adding to my legend.
The game is that popular? I've never heard of it.
Are you kidding?
Tang Taizong chimed in.
Glory of Legends is a consistent top grosser in the Chinese gaming market. But unlike Mythrealm, it didn't add in Western elements for the international release, so it tanked overseas. Tsk. Guess Chinese history isn't that interesting to Westerners.
Right. Mythrealm? Zack tensed up. What's up with it? Is it real?
Qin Shi Huang answered.
Not in the sense that every creature in it is a real spirit. However, the widespread exposure of their legends has certainly made the real spirits out in the world more powerful.
Then how come my portal view looks like a Mythrealm battle when we fight spirits?
Ah, that. I've simply appropriated its interface design. I must admit, it's very convenient and user-friendly. Much easier for me to subconsciously convey information to you via the widgets than to shout updates at you every other second.
Oh. Zack couldn't tell if he was disappointed. It would have been cool for his favorite video game to be real. On the topic of disappointment, he knew it was past time to ask another question that had been eating away at him, no matter how much he didn't want to hear a negative answer.
And what about Jason Shen? You said he's also a host? He's not evil, is he?
Tang Taizong clenched his bedsheets.
Jason Shen is the chosen host of the Yellow Emperor, a legendary ancestor of the Chinese people. We found this out after we grew suspicious of XY Technologies and joined the Mythrealm Championship to investigate it.
As if the company name itself wasn't a big enough hint,
Qin Shi Huang rolled his eyes.
It clearly stands for Xuan Yuan, one of the Yellow Emperor's names. We believe he guided Jason Shen into creating XY Technologies, then sent dreams to the masses to influence them to buy Jason's products and games.
What?
Zack lurched to rip his portal lens off.
No!
Qin Shi Huang lunged toward him, virtual figure glitching into the bed.
You must keep that on to stay connected with me. The device itself is fine. I've checked every aspect of its programming and disabled anything that could allow XY Technologies to track us with it.
Zack dropped his fingers from his portal lens, but remained spooked.
But why would the, Yellow Emperor want people to play video games?
Qin Shi Huang drifted above the bed again, forcing Zack to crane his head to look at him.
Games can subtly change the way people see the world, especially AR games, which blend make-believe with reality. Take Mythrealm, for example. By influencing people to hunt down mythical creatures in augmented reality, he essentially makes the creatures real to them, and thus the spirits of those creatures become stronger as well. Strong enough that together, they could shatter the portal plug if we don't reinforce it in 14 days.
Why 14 days exactly? Zack tilted his head at the repeated mention of that number.
The 7th lunar month will begin then,
Tang Taizong was the one who answered.
In traditional Chinese culture, it's the ghost month. Normally, only the most legendary of spirits such as ourselves can slip into the mortal realm, but during the ghost month, all spirits are believed to have the ability. The flood of them trying to escape the underworld at once this time could rupture the portal plug altogether. Then they'd rampage through China, possessing people and polluting their minds. The chaos could plunge China into war, which would be disastrous with your modern weapons.
Zack swallowed hard, throat drying. This sounded so outlandish that he couldn't believe he was being demanded to do something about it. He was always last pick for teams and gym.
Indeed, Qin Shi Huang said, and since the creature spirits will have the Yellow Emperor to thank for their new strength, and because being a good beast tamer is part of his legend, he thinks he'll be able to control them as his personal army. He's too arrogant.
So he's like the pot to your kettle, huh? Zack would have said, if he'd been braver. But what does he need an army for? If he's the ancestor of the Chinese people, why would he doom us?
Because he believes his children have gone astray, of course, and that he needs to discipline them. You can't deny that you modern humans have done a terrible, disappointing job taking care of your planet. Problem for him is, his spirit may be vast and ancient, but it's scattered across the realms, since people simultaneously believe him to be a divine ancestor and yet a dead mortal. Even when he's adapted into video games, which Jason Shen has tried plenty of times, he's never popular. An all-powerful ancestor is simply too boring compared to more colorful legends like mine. And when the games try to give him more personality, people often reject the depiction of him. Only by having the portal be free-flowing can he gather himself into a concrete existence, which he appears to want to do with Jason Shen as his host.
Isn't he already possessing Jason?
No. Right now he can only influence, not possess. Like the difference between me speaking to you versus taking over your body. He can whisper to people in their dreams when their minds are closest to the spirit realm, but can't quite follow them back to the real world.
Zack's heart sank. First Shu Dali, now Jason Shen. He couldn't believe two of his idols were big, fat, supernatural lies. So, do we have to take down XY Technologies?
No, Qin Shi Huang said. No point and no time. Even if the company went bankrupt tomorrow, people's memories of the creatures wouldn't fade. Our only option is to strengthen the portal plug. I'm working on adjusting my original plan. Simply do everything I say, and we can still win, despite these numerous setbacks.
Zack didn't like the sound of that. But his mom's spirit was on the line. He winced at the memory of how lifeless she looked, hooked up to all those machines in the hospital. It was so easy to imagine a coffin lid sliding over her ashen face. Fear twisted deep inside Zack. He couldn't lose her. He could not. She was his only family. Where would he even go if she were gone? foster care? No, he couldn't imagine that future. He didn't want to. If it took pulling off this mission to get her back, then he'd do it. He would do anything.
Chapter 5. How to Get Rich and Famous by Renting Your Body to a Dead Emperor. Zack didn't know where he was. It seemed to be a huge palace chamber. Licks of flame provided the only lighting, gleaming faintly off dozens of thick bronze pillars wreathed with dragons, which soared into the darkness above.
"My child," a voice floated past his ears,
no stronger than a breeze. Startled, Zack looked around. A metallic chill hung in the air, seeping into his flesh and bone. He shivered.
"He's lying."
Zack suddenly got the sense to look up. An elaborate bronze throne was on a raised dais ahead, shrouded in shadow. A silhouetted figure sat on it, wearing a familiar headdress with bead curtains. For some reason, terror streaked through Zack like lightning.
"He, mother."
The voice was saying something important, something he knew he couldn't miss, yet its words muffled at the most critical intervals. As Zack looked around, he realized he was standing on a long metal platform over a pool of dark water. Something white drifted in it. When it rose closer to the surface, two gaping black sockets stared back at him. A skull, framed by a red hijab. Chills shocked through Zack.
"He is a tyrant, and he always will be," the voice warped in anguish. "Don't fall for his lies, my child. He..."
"Zack, wake up."
Zack's eyes jarred open. Simon hovered beside him, shaking his shoulder.
"Come on, we're landing,"
he sounded underwater.
"We have to buckle up."
Zack pinched his nose and popped his eardrums. The airplane engines howled back in full force. He was covered in cold sweat.
"Did you have a bad dream?"
Simon eyed Zack's drenched hairline. Zack jerked back at Simon's closeness, cheeks warming, and wiped his forehead with his arm. He must have had a terrifying dream, but as he tried to remember it, his mind drew a blank.
"I don't remember."
"Oh, if you do, definitely say so. Qin Shi Huang should have given you some protection against the Yellow Emperor trying to influence you through dreams. But you never know. Chinese spirits communicate through dreams a lot. It's called Tuo Meng."
"Tuo Meng," Zack repeated in a murmur, the syllables foreign in his mouth. A language that was supposed to have been his mother tongue, but wasn't. His mom never spoke it with him because she didn't want him to have an accent when speaking English. He never learned because he never wanted to. He was about to land in a country that was, by all means, foreign to him. One where he wouldn't understand any of the language or customs. One that had killed his dad and forced his mom to flee with him to another continent. After he and Simon strapped themselves into the huge leather seats on either side of the beds, Zack spent the descent with his eyes squeezed shut. The fear of ending up like his dad spiked through him, but the thought of a demon tearing his mom's spirit apart was far worse. For her. He would tough this out for her. The moment Zack stepped off the plane and into the tunnel-like boarding bridge, heat swarmed every inch of his body. He sucked in a sharp breath. Having spent the past 3 years in Maine, he was no longer used to weather this hot. Sweat practically soaked his t-shirt and pants after just the short walk through the bridge. Thankfully, the airport buildings were air-conditioned. The shiny floors reflected hundreds of lights across the ceiling. A soothing lady's voice announced things in multiple languages overhead. Since he and Simon were unaccompanied minors, security officers helped them get their luggage and then escorted them through Chinese customs. Zack had no idea how his visa was being handled, but he thought it was best to not rouse suspicion by asking questions. He prayed nobody would discover he was the son of an executed dissident. His mom had legally changed his name from Ying Ziyang to Zachary Ying when they'd gone to America. Maybe that was enough? He felt like he had a secret identity, in a terrible way, that had nothing to do with the superpowers he could barely use. While the adults sorted it out, Zach couldn't help but gawk at everything in the airport. The last time he'd seen this many people in one place had been during his and his mom's last New Year's in New York, when they'd gone to see the ball drop in Times Square, which had ended up being very disappointing and very cold. Zach had better memories of drinking hot cocoa with his mom while sharing a blanket and laughing at themselves after finally making it home through sludge and snow. The masses of travelers chattered loudly and hauled their luggage in such giant packs that personal space didn't seem to be a concept. And most people looked like him. For the first time in 3 years, nobody was eyeing his every move or doing double takes on him. He felt so normal. Yet it was an illusion. He couldn't understand their language. He didn't know the legends and history they knew. He was an imposter. A fraud. A terrorist's son. He imagined the airport officers hissing before dragging him off to a re-education camp the government of China would insist was nothing but Western propaganda. But it wasn't as if he'd been safe in America either. Last year, he had tried out this Ask Me Anything website. The first anonymous question he'd gotten was, "How does it feel being a terrorist's son?" He'd frozen in his chair for several minutes, thinking the Chinese government had gotten to him, before he realized it must have been someone who'd seen his mom drop him off at school, and she'd been the one they'd been referring to. "You okay?" Simon took sudden notice of Zach as they stood at the marble counter of a customs officer. Zach breathed in short spurts. He couldn't get enough air to answer.
"Hey, it's gonna be fine," Simon smiled. "You're home."
"Am I?" A quiver came over Zach's heart. Could he ever find a place where he truly belonged? When he was so different from the typical American, the typical Chinese person, and even the typical Muslim? When the customs officer finally gave back their passports, she said something to them in Mandarin with a dark look in her eye.
"What? What is it?"
Zach asked Simon in a frantic whisper, gripping his suitcase handle. Simon turned to him with a troubled expression, shutting his passport like a book.
"Her daughter's a big fan of mine."
A laugh tumbled out of Zach in sheer crashing relief. "Congratulations?"
"I'm just glad she didn't ask for a selfie or something,"
Simon muttered as they dragged their luggage onward.
"I totally don't have the Xu Da Li look on right now."
Traveling with a celebrity. Now that was a different kind of weird, and a much easier one to deal with.
"Oh, and heads up," Simon went on. "There's a third member of our team. She's here to pick us up. And she's the host of, Lu Zitian herself. So beware."
"Who's that?" Zach asked, gut twisting tight again with the dread of being in an alien world. "Simon, I don't know these names you drop."
"Right. Sorry. You know that concubine Qin Shi Huang was yelling about? The one who was married to Tang Taizong, but got with his son on his deathbed, and then usurped her way into becoming the only female emperor in Chinese history? That's her."
"Oh, wow."
"It's okay. Don't be too scared. Her host is also 12 like us, because the emperors incarnated a piece of their spirits at the same time 12 years ago. She's called Wu Mingzhu, or Melissa Wu."
"Does she speak English?"
"Oh yeah, pretty well. We both go to an international school in Shanghai."
Zach let out a small sigh of relief. Simon may have a noticeable accent, but he didn't have any problems understanding Zach, so hopefully she would be the same. The arrival gate came up ahead, lined and packed with people behind metal barriers, Except instead of holding signs with names on them like in the movies, virtual letters and characters hovered over their heads. Mostly in Chinese, but many other languages too, visible in the common AR field that portal lenses could connect to. Another thing Zack had noticed was that almost everyone wore a portal lens, not just young people, like how it was in America. And they were making a lot more practical use of them. In fact, he rarely saw phones being pulled out. People in every direction spoke into the mic that could swing down from the portal lens's left arm, and they swept through virtual windows in front of themselves, which appeared in Zack's portal view as blurry, transparent boxes. He must have auto-connected to a Wi-Fi to be able to see them, or maybe Qin Shi Huang had connected to one for him. By what was probably also Qin Shi Huang's meddling, the virtual signs vanished down to a single one in bright magenta that said, Zack and Simon. The instant Zack caught sight of the ponytailed girl beneath it, he knew she must have been the one Simon was talking about. She dressed very adult-like for a girl their age. She wore a chic white dress, matching platform sandals, giant pink sunglasses shaped like cat eyes, silver hoop earrings, and several rows of intricate silver bracelets, and hauled a massive, expensive-looking purse over one shoulder. She gave a small shriek when she saw them. Once they got past the gates and barriers, she strode up to them, arms wide, ponytail bouncing. Her platform sandals made her considerably taller than both Zack and Simon.
What's up, losers?
Her perfume reached them before she did. Zack had to admit, it was very nice. A warm combination of vanilla and berries. A bootleg Mithram tag appeared beside her.
Wu Zetian,
Empress Wu. Real name, Wu Zhao. Or so she made up herself. Lived 624 to 705 CE. The only woman to become a full-fledged emperor in China's history. Usurped the Tang Dynasty to found the Zhou Dynasty for 15 years before returning the throne to her son. Do not mess with under any circumstances.
Nyang Nyang,
Simon spluttered.
Are you sure you should be out in the open like this?
Nyang Nyang, my lady. A translation appeared at the bottom of Zack's portal view. He wondered the same thing. On the plane, the emperors had told him that after they landed, they could only emerge when necessary or in the charm-protected condo they were using as a base, or else their spirit signatures might attract enemies.
Relax. There are way too many newly arriving people here for anything to sense me. I couldn't resist meeting Qing Shi Huang's host personally.
With a wild grin, Wu Zetian nudged her sunglasses downward and peered at Zack over their top edge.
Oh, he really is a gorgeous boy.
Zack's mouth slipped open at the sight of her eyes. They were so pretty. So pretty. He usually didn't feel anything around girls, yet flutters rose in his belly like butterflies taking off. Then she moved her sunglasses back in place, and the feeling vanished. It left him reeling, blinking fast.
See? He's not immune to my charm magic. I told Taizong I should have been the one to fetch him, or this fiasco would have never happened.
The daze winded Zack so much, it took him a second to notice that a scowling woman with a partially shaved head had come up behind Wu Zetian. The woman crossed her bare arms, which poked out of a sleeveless jean jacket. She had the biggest biceps he'd ever seen. He got the sense that she'd torn the sleeves off her jacket herself, maybe with her teeth. He sidestepped towards Simon.
Oh, right.
Wu Zetian pointed a hand over her shoulder at the woman.
This is Ya Ling, our henchwoman. She's the one who posed as your aunt over the phone and got all the paperwork sorted out.
Henchwoman?
Yeah, she's great. Gets the job done without asking any prying questions. 5-star reviews from so many gang leaders and local crime lords.
Wu Zetian flashed 2 thumbs up. Zack's gaze flitted between the people moving past them as she said that, afraid someone might call the police or something. But she was in a 12-year-old girl's body and speaking English, so no one seemed to pay her any mind. But why do you have a henchwoman? She frowned, her neatly penciled brows only half visible above her sunglasses.
How else are we supposed to get anything done? We can't do everything in the bodies of children, even with charm powers like mine.
Does she know about the supernatural stuff? Zack pressed his voice low, eyeing Ya Ling cautiously.
Pretty sure she thinks we're a bunch of rich kids playing around.
Wu Zetian leaned close and whispered back with a mischievous grin.
We wipe her memory whenever she sees something truly unscientific. But even if we miss an incident, nobody would believe her if she tried to tattle. Which she wouldn't. That's what makes her worth the money.
Zack shuddered. This had to be breaking at least a dozen moral codes. What was he getting himself into?
Now come on!
Wu Zetian spun on her platform sandals. We're going to have so much fun. Unlike the contrast between Simon's awkward shyness and Tang Taizong's smug confidence, the real Melissa Wu acted exactly like Wu Zetian. Seriously, Zack saw no difference in their demeanors whatsoever. The only visual distinction was that Melissa didn't wear sunglasses to keep her charm magic in check. Though she bragged that she still had a minor level of it, since she was born with a piece of Wu Zetian's spirit. She reminded Zack of one of those popular girls who always hung out with a flock of friends and spammed heart emojis on each other's selfies. The kind of girl he used to love playing with in elementary school, before he started worrying about what other kids would think of him, being in a friend group like that when he was a boy.
I already have a lot of fans online for my makeup and hairstyle videos. But once we finish this mission, Wu Zetian says she'll help me become one of the top-billed pop stars in China.
Melissa smirked, talking to Zack and Simon over the back of her seat on the Shanghai metro. Ya Ling sat beside her, watching a palace drama on her phone, featuring fancy ladies sobbing in elaborate robes and hairdos. The train rumbled and rattled them into the city proper. Concrete and underground lights blurred past the windows.
That was my wish. What was yours?
Zack was suddenly too embarrassed to say that it was to get stronger. He clung to his suitcase for dear life. The train was more crammed than any New York subway he'd been on. He and Simon had to balance their luggage in the tiny legroom in front of their seats.
Their flight had landed during rush hour, which was apparently so bad in Shanghai that even suffering the metro would get them to their base faster than driving. The people in the aisle beside them leaned over them like trees while scrolling on their phones.
It seemed like this was the one place everyone could agree that the excessive gesturing needed to browse on a portal lens would be a nuisance.
You didn't get a wish for being a host?
Melissa moved to sit on her knees, folding her arms over the back of her seat. Even her high, airy voice was barely audible over the train announcements and people practically yelling into their phones.
Mine was to get out of my village and be pretty and famous. Simon's was to get rich. To get money for my family,
Simon clarified, raising a finger.
Enough to pay off our debts and never worry about my little brother's medical bills again.
Well, they won't. Not with all that.
Melissa peered at the train full of bystanders, then leaned in and stage whispered,
Mithril money?
Yeah, but all they want to do is buy condos and keep the rest in the bank.
Simon puffed out his cheeks.
They're still mad at me whenever I spend it.
Like on a private first-class cabin on a flight from America to China?
Zack and the Emperors needed to talk.
Sure, sure.
Melissa mussed up Simon's hair.
Hey!
He ducked away.
What?
Scared I'll make you look too cool and expose your secret identity? Oh my god, video game champion here, everybody!
She fake yelled under her breath, then beamed at Zack.
So really, what's your wish?
She made a frame with her fingers and looked at him through it.
You could be a Chinese pop idol too, you know. You have the look.
I do? Zach flushed.
Hasn't anyone ever told you you're a very pretty boy?
Pretty isn't a good thing for a boy to be. He bowed his head.
He would much rather have a sharper and more angular face like Simon's.
Melissa scoffed, dropping her hands.
Who said? Americans? Forget them and their tough guy obsession. In Asia, pretty boys are all the rage. I swear, I will put a lip tint on you and you will look great.
When Simon laughed and smiled at that, Zach's blush deepened, heating to his ears. His hands curled over his suitcase.
Thanks. But I think I'm just gonna wish to get my mom's spirit back.
That's all I want now. Simon's and Melissa's grins stiffened and faded.
Though a lot of money would be nice, Zach mumbled out of the side of his mouth.
He didn't want to make them feel bad by being all mopey. Melissa snorted.
I'm sure Jin Chi Huang can find a way to get you that.
So, do your parents know about... Zach glanced between her and Simon.
No, Simon sighed. It was a condition of the Emperor's granting our wishes.
They said our families would only worry too much and get in our way if they knew the truth.
They don't even live in Shanghai.
Melissa's shoulders sagged a little.
The only way to keep them safe is for us to stay away from them. Our enemies can't pinpoint their spirits if we aren't around them. My family's back in my mountain village in Hunan, which is a province, if you didn't know. Simon's is in Shanxi. They think we got scholarships to our boarding school in Shanghai, which we kinda did. It was just that Tang Taizong gave us considerable help with our applications. But for the summer, they think we're filming a TV competition that doesn't let us have phones, Simon mumbled.
Saves us from having to lie to them about where we are every night.
Won't they expect to watch that competition soon? Zach asked. Melissa shrugged.
We'll just say it got banned from airing. It happens all the time.
Right, Zach muttered. Tyrannical government.
Whoa, shh,
she hissed, eyeing the other passengers.
Don't say stuff like that in public.
A brighter swath of light ripped past the windows. A sudden commotion boiled through the train. Voices rose. People pressed against the glass, looking out with concerned frowns. Zach slapped his hands over his mouth. No. No way. Was that one comment really about to get him in trouble?
What's happening?
Simon sat straighter.
Is it what I said?
Zach yelped.
No. We didn't stop at the last station.
Melissa scowled at the windows, then looked down with a wild glint in her eye.
There's an enemy spirit on board.
Chapter 6. How to Lose Friends and Alienate People.
What do we do?
Zach's focus whipped left and right.
Check if it's true. Come on.
Melissa leapt from her seat and squeezed through the train full of murmuring, rubbernecking people. Simon blew out a calming breath before wiggling out of his own seat. He asked Ya Ling to watch their luggage, then offered Zach his hand. Zach took it, heart skipping at the hint of Shu Da Li in Simon's tense expression. Zach was totally not ready to battle after the disaster last time, but he trusted Simon. Simon had to know what he was doing after going through that whole championship while being sabotaged by Jason Shen, right? They stumbled after Melissa. Unfortunately, they were at perfect elbowing level for most adults. They received plenty of whacks to the face before making it to the control booth at the front. The train ran automatically, so there was no one inside. But a spooky red glow emitted from the equipment beyond the small window.
Oh, the system's definitely being possessed,
Melissa exclaimed under her breath, sounding way too excited about fighting a demon on a cramped, out-of-control subway.
especially given how scared of the government she was a minute ago. She put her fingers to her temples and closed her eyes for a few seconds, then said,
Wu Zetian says it's probably a demon sent by the Yellow Emperor's influence, but we should be able to take it down by ourselves. We'll need room to battle, though.
Simon grimaced at the people pressing against them, also trying to see into the control booth.
I got this, Melissa said. Cover your eyes.
Do as she says,
Qin Shi Huang commanded from Zack's portal lens.
Trust me.
Zack pressed his hands over his portal lens at once.
Er yue dang kong,
Melissa whispered. Like the sun and moon in the sky, came a subtitle for Zack, the digital letters showing against his palms. A blinding flash of light went off beyond his hands. People screamed. More elbows jutted against him.
Shiga jia den,
Simon shouted.
It's a bomb!
The screams got sharper and more panicked, filling the train car. The pressure of people left Zack's side. Footsteps stampeded away. He dropped his hands in time to see Simon igniting a small plank of wood with a lighter. Then he threw it after the people, who stumbled and piled over each other to get away.
Whoa!
Zack shrieked.
It's okay. I can control fire because of Tang Taizong's depiction in Glory of Legends.
Simon flashed his hands open as if casting a spell. The wood burned much slower than normal, though it gave off plenty of smoke. Simon's energy meter, or Qi meter, as the emperors insisted it was called, appeared. It trickled down slowly from the almost full bar he'd recovered during the flight. The emperors had explained that Qi was the Chinese term for the vital energy that moved all things. If someone's meter hit zero, their body would become too weak to hang on to their spirit, and they would die.
This is just a smokescreen to keep them from coming back, but this means you two will have to handle the battle. How?
Zack cried, then coughed as smoke invaded his lungs.
I told you, I got this,
Melissa said, then continued in some form of ancient Chinese.
I, the concubine, can tame it if I had three items. First, an iron whip.
Her chi meter dropped a big chunk before continuing to drain. Trails of misty white light flowered past her hand. They gathered into a bright, blurry whip, which he grasped tightly.
What's going on?
Zack yanked down his portal lens mic while coughing some more.
Was that a spell? An incantation? That's a very weird incantation.
We can access our most powerful magic by invoking our most famous legends,
Qin Shi Huang explained.
Wu Zetian's blinding flash comes from the name she invented for herself after declaring herself emperor.
It was a brand new Chinese character read as Zhao, but it means like the sun and moon in the sky.
Her weapon comes from this one time she claimed she could tame this untamable stallion owned by Tang Taizong. But she said it in a very awe-inspiring way when she was only 14, so everyone remembers the story.
The spirit whip in Melissa's hand sharpened in Zack's view the moment Qin Shi Huang explained the context, looking more like glowing glass than a vague blur. Melissa lashed the conductor's booth door with the whip. The door shuddered, but didn't break.
If it will not obey upon being stricken with the whip, then I shall bludgeon its head with an iron hammer,
she chanted in ancient Chinese in much fewer syllables than Zack's subtitles. Her chi dropped another fraction. Her whip morphed into a spirit hammer.
Wu Zetian's exact words from back then,
Qin Shi Huang said.
The quote is so famous that when she or her host recites it, they can access the three different forms of her weapon.
Melissa's brows tensed in concentration. Her chi depleted faster as her hammer beamed brighter, turning from transparent to opaque. She smashed it against the door. Its small glass window shattered into a million glinting pieces, and its metal crumpled like paper.
Okay, seeing what you mean by awe-inspiring,
Zack's voice screeched up an octave.
But what about you? Us? Do we have a signature weapon?
We do, but it has a very annoying summoning condition. The girl can handle this. She's been trained in using Wu Zetian's magic.
Melissa ripped the battered door off its hinges.
Show yourself, demon!
A pained cry tore through the wobbling train car.
No! Please!
Zack froze. It was his mom's voice.
Help! Help me!
She sobbed from inside the glowing train console. He rushed forth.
Mom!
Melissa's spirit hammer turned transparent again. She swung it into the console. It phased through the metal panel like an illusion, not dealing any damage. Yet Zack's mom screamed in anguish. Her red light flickered.
No!
Zack tackled Melissa by her waist. They hit the wall of the control booth before tumbling to the floor in a tangle of limbs. She yelled something to him, but all he could focus on was his mom's tortured crying. A giant message pierced bright orange through his view.
Qin Shi Huang, that's not your mother. That's a Wang Liang, a trickster demon who can imitate voices.
Zack threw off his portal lens. It was blocking his vision. His mind seemed to be swimming through murky water, and all he could think about was his mom. Her red light swelled, beckoning. He wrestled against Melissa to keep her from hurting his mom again. Voices drifted in and out of his ears like a malfunctioning radio.
Don't hurt him! Then how am I supposed to?
No matter how Melissa thrashed against him, Zack clung to her legs. A frustrated growl warped from her throat, followed by another,
Er Yue Dang Kong!
The brightest flash he'd ever seen struck his vision raw. Yelping, he let go of her to clutch his stinging eyes. Her clothes rustled as she got up, then her thick-soled footsteps pounded away from him. A whole universe of spots and sparks popped behind his eyelids. It took him several seconds to bear the pain of peeling his eyes open. Even then, he couldn't see much except gold specks. Tears leaked down his face. More pained cries spurted from his mom, raking down his heart, yet he couldn't do anything about it. When his vision finally started to bloom back in, he saw Melissa swinging her transparent hammer over and over into the console. The hammer phased through the hardware, but pulsed against the red light until the light ruptured from the console. It morphed into a phantom form of a monstrous little boy with black skin, red eyes, huge ears, and overly long arms that ended in sharp claws. With an echoing wail, it scattered away. The murkiness cleared from Zack's head. That wasn't his mom. Why the heck did he think it was?
She was in a hospital in Maine.
Melissa turned around, glare slashing into him. Her eyes shone a cold, blazing white. Uh-oh. Zack flinched against the wall. She stomped up to him and crouched low.
Do you know what the last part of Wu Zetian's stallion taming quote is?
She held her spirit hammer above his face. Coldness sighed from it like a block of ice.
If I bludgeon its head with a hammer, and it still refuses to cooperate, then I shall slit its throat with a dagger.
Her hammer sharpened into a dagger, glinting white on one edge.
So, tell me, are you fit to dirty my dagger? Hey, Mel, that's too much.
Simon walked in and pulled Melissa back by her shoulder.
Didn't you see what happened?
She shook his hand off.
His spirit isn't even strong enough to have immunity to basic demons. If this isn't fixed, things like this are going to keep happening. How are we going to get anywhere without worrying? I know. Blaming him won't help.
Simon kept his voice soft.
Plus, bigger mess to worry about.
He gestured at the wider train car. The fire and smoke had vanished. The other passengers, so stunned they seemed catatonic, clustered as far away from them as possible, as if they'd been tilted and spilled to the other end. Melissa grunted, letting go of her hammer. It misted it away. She thrust her hand into Simon's bag with such force that he doubled over. Then she took out a spray bottle.
Fine. Let's get memory wiping.
She marched off between the empty seats while raising the bottle, The passengers shrieked and tensed further against each other. Simon picked up Zack's discarded portal lens. Qin Shi Huang's furious voice crackled in its speakers. Zack hugged his knees tightly. Simon gave Zack a sympathetic look, then put the portal lens in his own bag.
Probably best to let him cool down for a bit. It's gonna be okay.
He placed his hand beside Zack on the floor, yet didn't touch Zack.
We'll fix this.
Will we? Zack couldn't help but wonder. Simon strode after Melissa, leaving Zack on the floor, heart pounding against his ribcage like a small, trapped animal.